Hi there. It is lesson 9 of 10 weeks to transformation. How not to mask pain with food or other substances. Well, where do I begin? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's stereotypical when you see someone who's very, very, very thin. Sometimes people can assume that that person may be anorexic or bulimic. But I don't think that society, when they see someone who is heavy, oftentimes sees that person with an eating disorder. Instead, they see that person as being fat, lazy, eating too much, unmotivated. It's just a different story that they tell. I've actually been at places in my life where I was very thin, and I've been at places in my life where I was very, very heavy. But I've always been in a place in my life where I used food in an unhealthy way to numb pain or to fuel me. Let me explain. I think I noticed my food addiction. I am addicted to chocolate. I am addicted to sugar. And I know some people might laugh when they hear that, but I think having a sugar addiction is just as damaging as having an alcohol addiction. We know that sugar is a huge cause of illness, cancer, and disease in our body. And we know that alcoholism is the same. I think one, maybe it's a little bit safer for the outside world because I'm not, going to be impaired if I'm driving, but it's just as damaging to my own physical body. I noticed chocolate, I've always kind of had, a difficult time stopping eating it or craving it. But when it really started to go haywire is when I went home and I was filming season 2 of Mom's a Medium, and I started to register subconsciously, maybe not consciously, that my mom was very sick. And I was overdoing it. I was burnt out. I was burning the candle on both ends. I was working all the time. I wasn't taking any breaks. And I was trying to process seeing my mother, excuse me, seeing my mother's health rapidly decline. And I remember getting up in the middle of the night at my mom's home where my husband and I were staying. And I was driving to the gas station to go get chocolate bars at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was using sugar to keep going. So when I would get up in the morning, I wasn't having like breakfast like normal people do. I was having cake, chocolate, candy, and then that would spike. I would get up there and my energy would pick up. And then around noon, if I came down a little bit, I would eat. That's when I would throw in some carbs. And then around 3 o'clock, when I would start to crash, I would eat chocolate from 3 o'clock till, I don't know, midnight, if I had to. It was like, oh, I'm tired. Give me a chocolate bar. Oh, I got to do another webinar. Give me some more chocolate. Give me some more sugar. And I just kept eating because it was numbing me. It was releasing endorphins. It was making me feel good. It was putting a taste in my mouth that I resonated being a good girl with. Anytime my parents went away, even if it was just to go to the store, if you're a good girl, I'll bring you back a treat. If you're good, you get ice cream. If you eat all your dinner, you get to have dessert. If you're good, you get a treat. Rings over and over and over for me. So when I did a good reading, I wanted a treat. If I did a good open mediumship, I wanted a treat. If I did a good episode, I wanted a treat. And I wanted a lot of them. There was so much sugar and so much chocolate that it was just wreaking havoc on my body. And if you were to see me at that time, you may not have noticed because I think my metabolism was working much better than it is now. And in truth, right now I'm at my heaviest weight, but I don't eat chocolate and I'm very mindful of how much sugar. But that's the damage that I had done to my body. My metabolism stopped working the same way that it should. I went into menopause and now my body is going through this, oh, you're old. we don't store fat the same way. And so when I tried to diet, which I was addicted to many diets and trying different things, and I stopped eating to bring peace and to cover my pain, I would shop. And I'm just as happy to shop in a dollar store as I would be to shop in a Louis Vuitton store, which I have never done, by the way. But it didn't matter to me. It was just finish everything at the end of the day, go shopping, go to the dollar store, go buy dog food, go get my nails done, go do this, go do that. I was constantly trying to stay busy because if I slowed down, I would really have to look at my life and assess the fact that I wasn't healthy. I was just distracting myself with food, distracting myself with shopping, distracting myself with whatever I could to create chaos. And I like to call it that, the tapping of chaos. When you grow up in a very chaotic and a very dysfunctional family, it's like you're born to this tapping that's constantly on your forehead. And a lot of people think, oh my God, doesn't that tapping make you crazy? Well, no, if you don't know anything else, that's all you know. That's all you know. So when the tapping would stop, that's when you start to feel crazy. And that's when you have to start to eat anything and everything that you can. It got so bad. There was a point in my life where I was eating chocolate, chewing it so I could taste it, and then spitting it out. I never became fully bulimic. And I was never fully anorexic, but there are times in my life that I got close. There are times in my life that I would binge eat and I would eat so much food constantly. I was doing whatever I could to pad my pain. I just thought if I was bigger, if I had another layer, if there was more cushion, I wouldn't feel the physical pain. And that's not true. All of that damage to my body was why my gallbladder was removed and why I got so sick that I was coughing and actually blew my back out from coughing and had to have back surgery. There were some really dark places during that time. Places where I couldn't get up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror. I was so ashamed of myself for the way I was eating, how I was taking care of my body. And I wasn't taking care of my body. Because when you have pain, you'll do anything you can to distract yourself from it. Food, alcohol, drugs, shopping, sex, bad relationships, you name it. You'll do anything to not feel that pain, especially if you come from a very traumatic upbringing as a child. Because pain equates to failure and pain equates to losing yourself. And you fear that. So, how did I get out of it? That's the question. How did I stop this? Well, obviously, I went through the grief and the process of losing my mom, but I started to have really hard conversations with myself. And I started to realize that as I was putting the food in, I was just putting on a mask. And to be really honest with you, the number one thing that I did was I started to get honest with myself. And I started to write in a journal. And I started having hard conversations with Carmel. And I started looking and being conscious of what I was eating. And instead of being on autopilot and just shoving food in or getting a quick chocolate bar to get by, I was aware that my body was failing and that I was failing with it. I won't tell you now that I have a perfectly clean diet, but I'll tell you I don't eat for energy. I don't eat to keep going because I have my own energy and I can do that on my own. I actually eat very little, meal portions and more frequently throughout the day. I find that I do better as a grazer. Excuse me, when I'm grazing, I find that I do better if I'm mindful and if I'm present and if I'm sitting at the table and if I'm enjoying the meal. I don't eat a lot of takeout or fast food. And I love myself enough to know that if I have a piece of cake, it's okay. It won't be the last piece. It's just the piece that I'm allowing myself to freely and happily have in that moment. Journaling, self-love, healing, but also being honest with yourself. I was lying to myself for so long. I was lying to myself that I was healthy. I was lying to myself that I was sick. I was lying to myself about so many things. And when you start to come clean to yourself and you can't lie anymore, because the only person you're ultimately lying to is you. And so when you start to come clean, you start to realize, oh, I get it. The whole time I was like a dog chasing my tail, round and round and round and round, just hiding from me. Because nobody else cares if you eat another chocolate bar. That's true. If your husband or your wife really love you, they should love you no matter what size you are. And nobody else cares how much potatoes you put on your plate for dinner. That's a story you're telling yourself. They don't care. But you should care. You should. Because you can feed yourself peace or you could feed yourself poison. The choice is totally up to you. And that's what really brought me back to square one. I get to decide how I love this body because it's the only one I got. I hope you enjoyed this lesson, and I look forward to connecting with you in week 10.